God our Father, we pray that you will continue to speak into our lives day by day in this service through this season of Lent. We pray, Lord, that we will know that there is no satisfaction in this life without you in our lives, that we will not discover truth unless we seek you, that we will not know how to live unless we put you first and hunger and thirst for your presence. So we pray, Lord, that we'll be blessed now as we contemplate, reflect, and hear. We'll be blessed through our lives, that we may be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we have two sermons this week and next week, Palm Sunday, with shared themes. They are themes about hungering, longing for presence, holy presence, about fasting until you are filled with only what can satisfy, that is, the bread that is life. Themes will run through these 2 weeks about eating and drinking flesh and blood. Flesh that is his body, blood that is the lifeblood of all creation. The constant theme through both weeks is communion, holy communion, the Lord's Supper. How we need the bread of heaven, the blood of God. Feed me now and evermore. Let's first start with the hungering. When did you last fast? I don't mean a time when you had to skip breakfast because you had a blood test later. I mean deliberately going without food so that you can focus your hunger on him. He who only can truly feed your soul. He who is the bread of life. I have to say, I haven't fasted for nearly a year. I used to aim to go without food through the day until the evening once a week. But I guess it's just felt too difficult over this last year, where so much of general life has become like a fast. But I'm pleased to say, now after a year of the COVID crisis, I'm back into the practice of fasting once a week. Maybe this season of Lent has prompted me. Of course, this is nothing to boast about. How I fast is nothing like the rigours that some Christians undertake, or indeed what millions of Muslims experience every year during Ramadan. But for me, at the moment, it is enough to have this weekly focus with him, the living bread that came down from heaven, turning physical hunger into spiritual longing and fulfilment. I thoroughly recommend fasting to you, unless you have a medical condition. Jesus' teaching, see in the Sermon on the Mount, for example, he just assumes that we will fast. We will be blessed, rewarded, Jesus says, by our Father. Whether you fast or not, I urge you and urge you again to seek and seek, to recognize your deep hunger and come to the bread of life, that you may be replete, satisfied. See in chapter 6 of John's Gospel how Jesus is the food and drink for your soul. You may want to have John chapter 6 open in your Bibles. The chapter starts with the feeding of the 5,000. Blessed by Jesus, 5 small fish and 2 small barley loaves had fed a multitude with plenty left over. Such a miracle was bound to stir much interest. The great slap-up meal in itself, but also because of the reminder of Moses. Moses, of course, had provided manna in the wilderness, and the Jewish expectation was that the new Moses, the Messiah, would similarly be able to call down bread from heaven. But Jesus has to challenge the people's worldly expectations. See in verse 26, Jesus knows the crowd are seeking him because you ate the loaves and had your fill. The crowd's perceptions are bound by their preoccupations with this world. They're so busy trying to work out the good life for themselves that they seem unable to lift themselves to recognizing their deep need that is in and beyond themselves. The people would have been satisfied with fish and chip suppers for life when we are made for the glory of heaven. The thing is, though, unless you can truly bury your instincts that tell you that you are made for more than this life, there will always be a gnawing hunger in your soul. And at times, you will surely know the sheer depths of internal famine. Jesus tells the crowd in verse 27, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life." He goes on to make statement after statement that he himself, Jesus, is the food and drink that endures to eternal life. Verse 35, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." I think the slide should have moved on by now. Verse 51, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." So here, and the next slide, please, is the end of the found, the end of the famine in the depths of your being. Here is what we can bring to the hungering souls around us. Jesus, the Son of Man, Yeshua. Divine food and drink. Chow for our being, nectar for our soul. Receive simply by believing. Verse 29, believe. Verse 47, he who believes has eternal life. Belief. Faith in Christ Jesus is foundational. It is as you believe that you will find your soul being filled by the Spirit, the divine presence, the Holy Spirit. Belief that is expressed in relationship with Jesus, the bread of life. Relationship that will lead you to pray earnestly and fast, seeking more of him and less of yourself. Belief is foundational. Jesus does not leave it there, though. Beguilingly, enigmatically, Jesus goes on in John chapter 6 to talk about eating my flesh, drinking my blood. See verses 53 to 58. This surely takes us into the spheres of receiving the bread and wine of communion as being essential to our life with God and the satisfying of the deep hunger in our souls. Jesus gave us Holy Communion, the act of eating bread for his body and drinking wine for his blood, as an essential participation in his life, his sacrifice. I'm going to say it again, and you can read it on the screen, those of you that can see the screen. Jesus gave us Holy Communion, the act of eating bread for his body and drinking wine for his blood, as an essential participation in his life, his sacrifice. This is what St. Paul plainly tells us in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16. Clearly referring to the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, Paul writes this: "Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ?" Yes, we receive all that God has for us by belief, by faith, which is essentially about the mind, the will. But we are not amorphous spirits trying to escape our bodies. We are made by God as flesh and blood, physical beings. We are then blessed in the sheer physicality of eating flesh, drinking blood, his flesh and blood, the bread and wine of communion. And if this sounds something like the Catholic belief in transubstantiation, that the consecrated bread and wine of communion actually becomes the body and blood of Jesus, then so be it. But that's surely nearer to the truth than any casualness about the central importance of communion in our relationship with God. It may be surprising to note that the arch reformer John Calvin wrote The soul has as truly communion in the blood as we drink wine with the mouth. And so also for the bread of communion. Eating the bread brings communion in the flesh of Jesus, his sacrifice. In other words, communion is not an optional extra for the Christian. It is God's given essential way in Christ to feed us, bless us, blessing us in the physical act of eating and drinking that we may receive him deep within our being, our soul. And we can just see this all the more with some further reflection on just why is it, why Jesus identifies himself as the bread of life. And also see the setting that he chose for giving us Holy Communion. We've already seen that Jesus' miracles stirred the people of his time to recall the giving of manna in the wilderness, bread from heaven to eat. And as we have seen, Jesus declares that he is the bread from heaven, which if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Again, to emphasize, belief is foundational, belief in Jesus as the bread of life. But there is surely more going on in the relationship between the Old Testament miracle of manna in the wilderness and the bread of communion. The bread of communion is a miracle like the manna in the wilderness, but yet greater still. Remember, the Last Supper is a Passover remembrance for Jesus and his disciples. It is in this setting that Jesus gives us the celebration of communion. So Jesus' disciples in that Passover meal would surely have recognized that when Jesus gave bread to eat in remembrance of me, here was the new manna. The blessed bread of communion is manna, God-given miracle for feeding our souls. As Brant Petra says in his book, Jesus and the Jewish Roots of the Eucharist, if the old manna was the miraculous food of the angels, could the new manna be just ordinary bread and wine? If so, that would make the old manna greater than the new. The bread and wine, the manna of communion, of course, is greater than the old manna. As there was miracle in the old manna, how much more there is miracle in the giving and receiving of the new manna, the bread and wine of communion. Miracle, God-given blessing, his presence. And there is more that could be said about how Jesus, the bread of life, received in the bread and wine of communion, has roots in the beliefs, practices, miracles of the Old Testament, especially the Jewish celebration of the bread of the presence. I don't have time to go into that now. But if you want to, you can clearly see the parallels and fulfillment again at the Last Supper and the enactment of communion. I recommend Brant Petra's book. Next week, we will see more clearly again why communion is integral to the Christian life, and we will reflect more about the cup of thanksgiving, the blood of Christ. Thank God, from next Sunday, the blessing of God in communion is freely available again at the 8:30 service, and thereafter in communion services over Holy Week and Easter and every week following. You surely should be desperate to book in for these blessings. May we hunger and thirst for the living bread that came down from heaven. Believe, pray, fast, crave the new manna, the bread and wine of communion. Amen.